Well, Nova Scotia's prescription monitoring system has been in place for a decade now, and there are mixed opinions about whether it's working. Health authorities and police are grappling with alarming rates of addiction and crime in the Annapolis Valley. Nadine Wenzel remembers when Health Canada ran its own drug monitoring system across the country. She was a federal narcotics inspector in Nova Scotia at the time.
Nadine, 15, 20 years ago, you were one of the people who was monitoring prescription drugs in Nova Scotia, but it was an entirely different system then.
How'd it work?
I was working as a narcotic inspector with Health Canada, and my responsibility was to travel the province, Nova Scotia and Newfoundland, to monitor pharmacists, physicians, dentists, anyone who under federal authority had prescriptive authority to purchase and or prescribe narcotics and controlled drugs.
And why did they need to know what was going on?
Well, it was a vigilance component and an accountability component. I often liken it to, if you're driving down the highway and you know that there aren't any Mounties policing, then, you know, you're inclined to perhaps push that limit a little bit. And the majority of health practitioners are going to follow the rules as best as they know them, but there's always a certain segment where things can sometimes be a bit tempting, and I was looking for diversion of prescription narcotics and controlled drugs.
Nadine, give me an example of what you would do if you noticed an irregularity, that the drug that was supposed to be on that shelf was not.
Well, there are a number of cases that come to mind. One specifically actually involved a physician in a more rural area who had been purchasing an inordinately large quantity of Demerol injection. And my records only indicated from one particular pharmacy, but when I went to the area, so the first step is to find out the facts, to make sure that everything I've got is accurate. So I went to that particular area and assessed the pharmacies and confirmed all of the purchases this particular physician had made. And it was substantial. I mean, totally off the mark with regard to the 12-month period. So the next step was to go to his office, and I would arrive without an appointment. I didn't require one. And that's the other thing. As a narcotic inspector, I didn't need a warrant. All health practitioners were required to provide me access to any of the information I had authority to at any time. Mm-hmm. So that was a real advantage that I don't think prescription monitoring has. So this physician, I went into his office, and he wasn't very happy about seeing me. He had a waiting room full of patients. So when I finally got in to see him, it was a bright, sunny morning, snow in the wintertime, and I needed sunglasses. I walked in his office. He had all the blinds pulled, pinpoint pupils, which is one of the first signs of opiate use. And I provided him with my documentation and basically said, I need to see your records for this, for your patients that you've administered this to. And he looked at me and he said, well, I took 90% of it. I thought, oh, my goodness. At that point, he tried to stand and couldn't, so he was obviously using at that time. And that was where my authority really ended as a narcotic inspector, but professionally as a pharmacist, I couldn't in good conscience leave there with him having a waiting room full of patients, and his writing at that point was illegible even for most doctors. So I called my physician assist contact and explained the situation to her, who's a doctor, and she was able to arrange for him to go into a treatment program that day.
Now, clearly, these drugs are ending up on the street. Why? What's your opinion on that?
Oh, it's multifaceted. It's never one single component, but of course, it originates with the physicians. Physicians are the ones who have the prescriptive authority. Dentists, less so. Veterinarians, much less so. So when it's really dealing with prescription narcotics and controlled drugs, it's the family physician most of the time. And sometimes they're unintentionally duped. And other times, I think perhaps they may have busy practices. These are the things that I observed in the past. And, you know, I don't think there's very much being taught about this with our students in medicine and pharmacy and dentistry.
But we hear, I was told by Denise Pellerin, who runs the prescription monitoring program, that it's working. But why do you think that you were better able to control or prevent these drugs ending up on the street than the authorities are doing now?
I don't know if we were better at it. I would say that, well, first of all, as a pharmacist, you know the healthcare system and you know what to look for. You know what's generally accepted practice and you know where the boundaries are for irregularities.
And what could you do?
Depending on the circumstance, if it was an admission that a practitioner had used, you know, diverted the prescription narcotics for their personal use, the first step would be to remove them from practice if they were actively using and a danger to themselves and the safety of their patients.
So you'd report them to the college?
Usually I dealt with the physician assist program, which was part of the medical society at the time. And there was a physician there who I had a very good relationship with, and so I would work with her and she would help them get into a treatment program. And then secondary to that, depending on what the circumstances were, there was often a discussion with the regulatory body. That would be the second step.
And what if the physician was found to be fast and loose with the prescription pad to patients?
I would refer that information to the regulatory bodies. I didn't have any authority to do anything from a punitive perspective, so that would be the process that I would follow.
When you called us, you expressed frustrations that the system was working fairly well and that you seem to think that the province is groping, trying to get it back on its feet now.
Well, I think the prescription monitoring program does a really good job at what they do. I don't know how proactive they are able to be to refer the irregularities that they now identify to the proper enforcement agencies when there's obviously... So there's two different components. There's a diversion concern where someone may be double doctoring, which is an obvious offense under the Controlled Drugs and Substances Act. And then there's the other component about lack of professional discretion, for lack of a better term. And I'm really not familiar with the intricacies of how that referral happens to the regulatory bodies. I just see that there's such a problem going on in various pockets of the province, and it seems that very little is being done.
Does it surprise you that those particular areas are where the trouble is brewing?
No. They're the same areas that were a problem when I was a narcotic inspector.
Really?
Yes.
Do you know why?
Some of it's culture. That's passed down from generation to generation. Some of it is practitioners that are known as easy marks or easy targets. Sometimes it's usually a combination of the two.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Nadine Wenzel is a former federal narcotics inspector.